I'll get my recording here going right now. There's something I want to talk to you about from Psalm 50 here. And I want to talk to you about the most forgotten offering. The most forgotten offering. And let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Lord, help our hearts. Lord, we've got so much distractions in our lives and so many afflictions and challenges and business of the day, Lord, that takes our hearts, that we really, Lord, don't devote ourselves to you like we should. And Lord, we're ungrateful at times. And forgive me, Lord, for being ungrateful. And forgive us all, Lord, for our ungratefulness. Help us to see the importance of it, Lord, of being grateful and thankful for all that you've done for us. Oh, Lord, we pray you'd use this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 14. In your Bibles there, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know, there's an offering that I believe that we neglect as Christians more than any other offering that we could give. And, you know, God does honor and bless giving. God does honor and bless us when we give and when we take care of the needs of the Lord's ministry and all those things and finances and things like that. Those are all important things, but they're not the most important thing. They're a product of a grateful heart. And one of the things that you and I neglect the most, I believe, the most forgotten offering and the most forgotten sacrifice that you and I are supposed to make to the Lord is the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of gratitude. In Hebrews 13:15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You and I are a bunch of spoiled babies. We're a bunch of brats is what we are. And if things don't go our way, we easily complain about it.
Yep.
If things aren't right the way we wish them to be or the way we think God should make them, we become very ungrateful. And one of the things that I've noticed in my own life especially is the more challenges and things that happen in our lives, the more that we will be led to be grateful to God. I'm going to push this back a little bit. It's driving me nuts. I feel like I'm in a cave or something. All right. Backed into the corner. There we go. Okay. Anyway, so one of the things that I've noticed, though, is that we become, not until afflictions come or troubles come, do we actually turn to the Lord and become very grateful for what he's done for us. Grateful for the smallest things that God gives us, which aren't very small if he takes them away.
Yeah, right.
If he takes them away, they're not small.
Yeah,
but it says here, by him, therefore, they are all by Christ, that we are able to enter in and make this sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God does not need the blood of bulls and of goats. He does not need the birds. He does not need those things in order to be pleased or to be well pleased with you. He states in this psalm that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says it here, that I don't need your money. That doesn't mean you're not to give unto the Lord. It just means that, no, that's not what God wants. When you have a grateful heart, then you will give to God the praise and honor and glory that he deserves. And then you will naturally do those other things. God would not ask us for food, but he provides it for us to eat. And if we needed it, he would rain down food from heaven for his own people like he did manna in the wilderness. God needs not that his people provide for him. He is the only God that's ever recorded in history ever as to providing for his people a sacrifice. For his people.
Amen.
That he would provide for them what they need. Not the other way around. He sent forth his only begotten son into the world to die on the cross for a bunch of ungrateful people.
Yep.
He gave for eternal life. We give nothing. We can give nothing. By Christ we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By Him, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That means that we are grateful to God. We are giving thanks to God. Is there any greater giver than God? Is there anyone more sacrificial than God? I know no one that is as sacrificial as God. For even for a righteous man to die, right? Romans 5:7 says this. Turn to Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God does not need our things as much as we need to give our things to God, that He might multiply them for His kingdom. We give because it honors Him, not to receive in return, although that's a benefit of giving. That's not the goal of giving. It's another effect of glorifying God. But then He asks from us one offering here. What is the one thing that God asks for us? Thanksgiving. To offer the praise of thanksgiving unto Him. That is the fruit of our lips. What comes out of our lips is an offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, that word thanksgiving is 28 times in the King James Bible. 28 times. The act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. The Bible says that we are to offer up thanksgiving unto the Lord. That is an offering to God. When's the last time you offered that to God? When's the last time you truly thanked God for what He has done for you? When's the last time you spent a moment in praising God with your lips, that the fruit of your lips would rejoice and praise God and thank God? When is the last time? Ask yourself that question. That the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. When is the last time you've done that? For something that is 28 times in the Bible there, and then above that, talking about the sacrifice of praise. It's the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. The Bible says we are to offer up thanksgiving unto the Lord. That is an offering to God. When is the last time that you offered up true thanksgiving to the Lord? What does that mean? Well, David describes it. The Bible describes it in a few different ways. Here's one way. David says there is a voice of thanksgiving. Psalm 26:7, that I may publish. Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That you would publish. Part of being thankful, part of having that fruit of sacrifice of thanksgiving on your lips is what? It's publishing it. Like you would publish a paper, an article, testifying of the goodness of God and rendering thanks or expressing gratitude. It should be published so all know how thankful we are to God. There is a voice of thanks to God. It's the voice of thanksgiving. Not the voice of complaining. Not the voice of ingratitude. But the voice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of praise. I'll explain what that is in a little while, what that means. But it's the sacrifice of praise. There is a voice of thanks to God. You know, it's in opposition to the voice of murmuring. Let me ask you a question. As you've searched the scriptures and you've seen in the Old Testament, and we are admonished in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 10, not to follow the acts of the Old Testament, not to follow their pernicious ways, not to fall in the wilderness as they fell, right? What is the one thing that God hated the most that they did?
Murmuring.
They murmured. So then if God hates that so much, how much does He love it when we praise Him? How much does He love it when we have an attitude of gratitude? How much does He love that? How much is He near to that person that is of a gracious spirit that offers the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving? God forbid that we lift up our voice and complain about the Most High who is merciful to us. The Bible says we magnify God with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. Turn there, please. Psalm 69:30. I believe the closer I get to God, the more ungrateful I truly do feel when I see His goodness to me and His kindness. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. What does that magnify? What does that word mean? It means to make great in representation, to extol, to exalt in description or praise. The ambassador magnified the king and the queen. Right? Magnify Him with thanksgiving. That means we lift Him up. We make great representation. We extol His name. We exalt His name. We give praise to His name. I will tell you that when afflictions come, when heartache comes, when Satan comes to tempt us and to try us and to try to harm us, you need to get yourself into a place of praise. It is one of the only ways to defeat him. Psalm 95, O come, verse number 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. This involves, this thanksgiving involves a joyful noise. It involves singing. It involves a song. It involves singing unto the Lord. When we are to make a joyful noise with singing, it may involve instruments of praise. It may involve taking instruments and using them to glorify God, a guitar or a harp or a violin or whatever the case may be. But it involves taking them and using them for God's glory to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And with my mouth to make known. When is the last time you sang songs of thanksgiving to the Lord? When's the time when you prayed unto God and you started singing while you're praying? You just started singing songs of praise to God while you're praying. You ought to be able to do that. But you have to commune with God longer than 5 minutes in order to do that. You've got to give God longer than 5 minutes of your time in order to do that. Amen. It's got to be longer than that. Please, Lord, help us to sing those songs of thanksgiving, to render thanks and express our gratitude. It is an attitude of gratitude. It is a mindset. How much do we sing songs from the heart and render thanks to God? Psalm 110, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What are we to do here? It says these are good instructions. It says enter into the gates into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Right into the presence of God. Amen? Be thankful unto Him. And bless His holy name. Bless His name. Be thankful. Are you thankful? Do you bless His holy name? Do you express thanks to Him? Have you given your offering of thanksgiving unto Him? Think about that. Psalm 107, verse 22 says, thanksgiving is a sacrifice. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. You know, a sacrifice is something that kind of costs you something, right? It costs you something. So when I sacrifice, it costs me something. What am I doing? I am denying my flesh when I sacrifice praise unto God. I might be in the worst mood in the world. I might be going through the worst things in the world. I might have the worst trials and tribulations and troubles and heartaches and pain and suffering and depression or loneliness or anything else. I may have all of those things, but the one thing that I must do is sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. That's hard to do. You've got to mentally prepare for that as well as spiritually. You've got to decide that you're going to do that and just start doing it. It's not going to happen. Listen, remember what we talked about. Faith has to be activated. Well, I thought it was just automatically going to happen, that I was going to be able to just... Listen, in spiritual warfare, which we are in constantly, right? Every day of our lives, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? It's a war that goes on. There's two principles in spiritual warfare, though. I mean, there's more, but in essence of the type of the battles, what I'm saying is this. There is offensive and there's defensive, and we need both to be successful. If we are, you know, if we are way too passive, then Satan will beat us up. Even though we're right, we might not be sinning and living wickedly or anything like that, but if we are too passive and not assertive enough in our marriage, in our home, in our lives, in our ministry, in our work that we do, if we are not assertive enough, if we are not steadfast and unmovable enough, then we will get beat up. If we think that life can just happen around us, then we are in trouble. No, you have to activate that faith. That means you have to exercise that faith and you have to work that faith. You have to apply it to the situation that you're in. It's so easy to forget that as we struggle. It's so easy. We forget it very easily. I understand more and more why Paul kept reminding us of everything. And Peter kept reminding us of everything. Said it over and over and over again. Why? Because we forget. We forget when we're in the heat of the battle. We forget. Right? John Gill says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, not legal sacrifices, but spiritual and evangelical ones, the sacrifices of praise and thankfulness, which God has enjoined, are well-pleasing to him through Christ. Glorify him and are but our reasonable service. The Bible says that it's our reasonable service, right? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is no mere legalism or legal sacrifice, but it is from the heart giving thanks and praising God for his goodness. It is an offering. It is a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 again tells us, by him. By who? By Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why by Christ? Because there's no other way it's accepted. There is no merit in us, only in Christ. It is by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the fruit of our, that's all that we do. Everything that comes from our mouth ought to be giving thanks to his name. We need to offer that sacrifice of praise. Why is it a sacrifice? Because you don't feel like doing it sometimes. So I thought I was just going to always be spiritual and be a super Christian, and there's no such thing as a super Christian. Okay? There's real warfare.
Right.
There's real struggles. There's real heartaches. There's real pain. There's real challenges. There's real testings and blessings. Amen?
Yep.
These are the challenges of life. But by Christ, we're able to offer the sacrifice of praise. It is all in Jesus. The whole book is Jesus. The whole book is the man, Christ Jesus. He is God. He is the God-man. And remember one thing, the God-man, Christ Jesus, can always beat the strong man. Satan is the strong man, but Jesus is the God-man.
Amen.
And if you study those phrases, study that sometime. Through Christ is three times in the Bible. Through God is three times in the Bible. Through Christ is five times in the Bible. And through the Spirit is five times in the Bible. That's how you and I can operate successfully. Through Christ, through the Spirit, and through God. Through the Blessed Trinity. That's how you and I will be able to operate and to praise Him. That's how it's accepted of God, because it's offered through Christ. Because Christ's offering was accepted once and for all. So then our sacrifice of praise is accepted. It's not wrong to worship Him as God, for He is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is God of gods. Praise and confession of God's benefits are the true sacrifices of the godly. They are all that we can truly offer God from our heart. Praise and sacrifice are all we can truly offer. Those sacrifices of praises to Him and confession of God's benefits. And let them sacrifice. One said this clause is subjoined by way of explanation, the more strongly to express how God is robbed of His due, if in this matter of sacrifice, His providence be not recognized. We must recognize who God is. When we worship God, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You ought to be able to say that there is a time every day that I praise God. Multiple times in the day that I have praised God. Are there? Are there times that you have praised God? Do you praise yourself? Do you praise others? Do you praise your children? Nothing wrong with that, but do you praise God? Do you praise your own works? Do you praise your own doing? Do you boast of yourself, but not of your God? Do you boast of all that you can do and you are able to do compared to the world, and of your own righteousness compared to the world's? But you do not boast of the righteousness of the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who imparted righteousness and imputed righteousness to you, the one that makes it possible for the child of God to be righteous. Amen. Do you praise Him for who He is and what He has done for you? Do you offer that sacrifice? That sacrifice of praise means that I sacrifice time to do that. It means I sacrifice time to praise God. It means that my time is not that important compared to the time. It is important, but it's important to use it wisely. It's important to use it for God's glory. Even nature itself teaches that some kind of homage and reverence is due to God. This is acknowledged by the heathens themselves, who have no other instructor than nature. We know, too, that the practice of offering sacrifices is obtained among all nations. And doubtless it was by the observance of this ritual that God designed to preserve in the human family some sense of piety and religion. Why do people sacrifice? Why did they sacrifice animals and blood and bulls and goats? Well, because Adam did. That's why. Right? Because the lamb had to be slain, right? Because a sacrifice had to be given. Cain and Abel knew that, right? To acknowledge the bounty and the benefits of God is the most acceptable sacrifice which can be presented to Him. To this subject, therefore, the prophet intends to recall the attention of the insensitive and indifferent portion of men, that we make it so foreign to cry out to God or to praise Him for His goodness. You know, scary thought, but dare we to live on God's earth and breathe His air and be blessed by all that He has given us, and to have the grace of God inside of our hearts and have no sacrifice of praise for Him daily? No offering of thanksgiving to Him daily? None? How long Do you believe God will put up with that before he chastens you for your ingratitude? He charges those people with ingratitude who, after having escaped from some imminent peril, forget to celebrate the praises of their great deliverer. God delivers you. Maybe he delivers you financially. Maybe he delivers you spiritually from turmoil. Maybe he delivers you financially or emotionally or physically, whatever the case may be. God delivers you and you have no sacrifice of praise for him, nothing to praise his name for, not to remember his goodness, not to remember his benefits to you. Why so shallow a Christian life? Why so shallow? That's right, shallow. Why? Why so shallow? When out of the mouths of babes and sucklings he hath perfected praise, but his own people called by his name do not praise his name. You have nothing to thank God for during your day at all. Nothing to praise God for. No time to sacrifice the offering of praise to God. No bounty, no benefits from God. Nothing to celebrate, no deliverance you've been delivered from. No good health to praise his name for. Right? These things are called sacrifices to God because they are no less acceptable to God than costly sacrifices. You could give millions of dollars to God, but if your lips never sing his praises, what is the point? Do we need to be in the whale's belly before we sacrifice thanksgiving unto God? God forbid. But it is so that he will put us in much tribulation to teach us thankfulness. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Jonah, in the whale's belly, swallowed, literally decomposing while he's there for a few days. 3 days in the whale's belly and 3 nights till he learned to be thankful and be obedient. How many times have you been swallowed by a whale? Before your health went, did you thank God for your health? Did you ever praise him for your good health? Did you ever praise him for a strong back or for good eyes or right? Did you ever sing his praises for his goodness to you? Did you ever extol his name? Did you ever lift it up when all was well? But then when things go bad, you will cry out to him for help, but you never thanked him when he gave you good health. You just expected it. You took it for granted, just like I do, just like we all do. We take it for granted until God... I took sleep for granted for years until God took it from me. And I found it to be very sweet that God would give me rest at night.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a very big thing that God gave me rest. I counted it as a little thing before. But it was a big thing when he took it away from me. Yep. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. He was swallowed. He was taken on quite a ride. Now, it may not be a whale that comes up and swallows you, but life sure can swallow you.
Yep.
Trials and tribulations and troubles and pains and sufferings and heartaches can swallow you. But even yet, Jonah in the whale, when he was in deep tribulation, what did he do? He praised God for it. What happened after he praised God for it? He got out. Could it be that you and I are stuck in trial sometimes longer than we need to be because we are so ungrateful for God's blessings and work upon our lives? Could it be that we stay a little while in the whale's belly until we're grateful?
Yep.
Well, I will say, yeah, I think so. Personally, I know I can say that I spent a little time in that whale's belly. Amen. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah, he's disobedient. He's like, I ain't going. I'm getting out of here. I'm heading out the other direction. We'll see ya. Taking the ship that way. God will find you wherever you go. You can't run from God.
Nope.
If you're his, you ain't running from him.
Nope. For sure.
He's on that ship, and that ship's rocking. Storm's coming. God sends a huge storm there, going to kill them all. Jonah has to come up and say, okay, throw me over.
Yep.
Throw me over. Oh, you're going to drown out there. Oh, I ain't drowning. That'd be good if I drowned. I ain't going to drown. Yeah, I bet you Jonah's like, hey, throw me over. I'm all right if I drown. I'm going to heaven. Just throw me over. You only wish it was going to be that easy, Jonah. You ain't dying. Right? You might feel what hell's like for a little while, Jonah. So he stuck him in that fish. I don't have time to talk about that now. But we will talk about it sometime. Because there's a lot of great things in there. About the science behind all that. It's amazing. But anyway, we'll save that for some other time. But he said as soon as he was in there for three. It took him a while, though. I mean, it took him a while. He was there for 3 days. It took him a little while. He was stubborn, like you are, right? You mean I'm going to thank God for being in this whale's belly? I ain't going to thank God for being in here. This is horrible. This is awful. Everything's bad. Nothing's good. It stinks in here. Life's hard.
Yeah.
All these challenges.
Yep. Come on.
Kids make a mess.
Yep.
So is your husband. Right? Might as well just stay here. No, after a little while, Jonah's like, I don't know if I like it in here anymore. This is kind of bad. It's getting a little bleak in here. It's getting a little dark in here. Can you imagine how dark it was in there? A lot like hell. Mm-hmm. Jonah was one of those deserted brothers. He went through that. God deserted him for a little while. He was still there. God was still there. But he left his presence and let him sit in that whale for a while. Let him feel what hell was like for a while. What it'd be like to be without God. You want all those people to go to hell? Well, here's what it's like. Right? And it was like he was in a bottomless pit because that whale took him way down and deep and took him way back up and went everywhere. It was like in a bottomless pit. Never stopped. It was bad. Real bad. Oh, yeah, it was horrible. Horrible experience. You know? He was corrupt. His body was corrupt. Anyway, we got to keep going. But he cried out with a sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Not only offer up a legal sacrifice, right, in that sense, but when he came to Jerusalem, but along with it's the spiritual sacrifice of praise. God knew his heart. He said, okay, I'm going to make you grateful. How's God make us grateful? By taking things away and show us that it was his mercy, the reason we had it. right? He'll take it away from you to show you his mercy. That he gave it to you, that he gave everything to you. I'm going to tell you what, you better thank God for everything he gives you. And don't take it for granted. If he's given you a sharp mind, don't you brag on yourself about your sharp mind. You brag on God for it. If he's given you a strong back to work, you thank God for that strong back and you give him the glory for it. You don't give any other man, any other person glory for that. Right? If God's given you, abilities in finances and whatever it may be, it doesn't matter what it is, you thank God for it. You give him the glory for it. You praise his name for it. Let not your mouth praise you, but you praise God for what he's done for you. He'll teach you that. He'll teach you that. If you're a preacher, he'll teach you that. He'll teach you that as a preacher, a pastor. He'll teach you that power comes from the Most High. It comes in Christ. And if God decides at any time of his choosing to pull that away from you, he can do that. And you won't be able to get up off the floor. Because he is able to do that. And he has every right to do it. He knew that he needed to make those spiritual sacrifices Jonah did, which he knew was more acceptable unto God, and thus Christ, his type, upon his deliverance from his enemies. You and I, as children of the Most High, joint heirs with Christ, owe our Father thanksgiving and praise. We should be singing songs of praise to him in thanksgiving. I'm not talking about in the assembly. I'm talking about you,
right,
what you do. Listen. Listen to me closely. I'm going to help you with something. Your devotion is not measured by what you do before men. It is measured by what you do alone with God. Do you understand me? You can come to church 4 times a week. You can be here early. You can give money. You can be faithful in all those ways. But if your devotion to God, you can help others, you can do things for others, all those things. But if your devotion to God in private is not there, then you are failing as a Christian and setting yourself up for disaster, for Satan's attacks. And if you are not grateful to God, and if you do not cry out to God when you're alone with him, if you do not have any type of devotional life at all, then you, or if it's minimal, then you need to grow at it. If you're a new Christian, I understand. If you have never been if you never learned the importance, I understand. I intend on teaching you some important facts, some important things. I plan on a Sunday afternoon sitting down and teaching you some things about studying the Bible just straight on and showing you some things that I believe will help you in your devotional life. And they are things that will take time that you cannot just speed through and act like they don't matter. But they will take time. Right? They will take dedication. But they will help you to grow in your walk with God. We should be sacrificing thanksgiving to him. We should be devoting. You know what that sacrifice means? It means to devote with loss. So it may mean that I lose some sleep to devote some time to the Lord. It may mean that I lose time with my husband or my wife to devote time to the Lord. It may mean that I lose time with my friends and my Christian brothers to devote time to the Lord. That I sacrifice work, some things with work that maybe I don't get as much done. Now, I have a theory, and it's always in my life worked. is that if I put that first in my life, I get a lot more done in the day. I get a lot less done when I don't put God first. My day is not ordered properly. I'm not that successful. My day is not that profitable. It kind of puts me in a bad mood, too. There's no sure foundation. There's no devotion to God. And it sets the tone for the entire day. And I'm not strengthened. And if I believe that I can live this Christian life without sacrificing, without loss of something in my flesh that pleases me in order to devote it to God, then I'm going to be devoured by Satan. And your time is not going to be as effective. That's one of the problems. Your time is not as effective, and the reason why it isn't is because you're not devoted to God like you should be. He sets the order of your day, and if he does, if you put him first, if you sacrifice that to God first, then the rest of your day works out. Oh, I can't see how that could work. Well, let me ask you this. You give to the Lord. Are any of you starving? If you need some food, we'll get you some if you're starving. Right? None of us look like we're starving. Right? We're okay. Right? But you give to the Lord, so I don't see how could you do that? Because that doesn't make any sense. Because some of you, if you look at it on paper, it doesn't make that much sense. Some of you, your wives came home and you cut income. But God gave you more.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. How could that work?
Right.
Well, it's God.
Yep. Right. Man. Lord.
So then if it's your time of your day, and I devote that to God, will he make the rest of it work?
No.
Well, of course he will. Why wouldn't he? He's God. Is there anything too hard for God? Right? No, he will. You just have to do it. You have to put the Lord first. You have to put God first. You have to devote. You have to be willing to sacrifice that praise unto God. It means that sacrifice means to devote with loss, to slay or kill. We have to die to ourselves to sacrifice unto God. Why? Who could admit here that the hardest spiritual exercise that you ever do is prayer?
Anybody here?
Anybody can admit that? The hardest spiritual exercise that you do is prayer. Now listen, let's be honest now. I don't want to talk about your little 5-minute prayer. I mean that if you actually devote, now there's nothing wrong with that 5 minutes of prayer. Do that and do more. Okay? But what I'm saying is that if you really sacrificed a certain amount of time, like, let's just say you said, I'm going to pray for a half an hour today. How hard is it sometimes to see that fulfilled and accomplished in your life? Well, Lord, I got a headache. Don't feel good. I'm tired. Oh, well, that's a good reason not to pray. Right? But you'll go to work with a headache. Right? You'll study your schoolwork with a headache. Right? Right? You'll drive a truck with a headache. You'll stay up past midnight. You'll go over to another brother's house and stay there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Usually that causes people headaches.
Yeah, it does. But no, you'll do that, right? We will do that. I'm not picking on just you. I'm saying we will do that. When would you ever stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning praying to God? But you'll talk to somebody else up late at their house till midnight.
Yep.
But you're going to talk to God that long.
Come on.
Why?
Come on.
Because Satan hinders you.
Yep.
Satan gives you all the excuses in the world.
Yep.
And he doesn't have to give you too many because you are ready to accept them right away. But let me say something to you very, from my heart and very honest and backed up by the Word of God. I know of no good excuse not to pray. I have not found one yet. I have not found any good excuse for not to pray that I have not had to ask God's forgiveness for. I have never. I believe this as long as I've been knowledgeable that a Christian should pray and really set my heart out. When I knew I was called to ministry, I moved to Minnesota. I started praying. I lived in, maybe it was before then. I don't remember. My wife would probably remember. But I was living over in, well, 1 year after I got saved, I know for sure. I was living over in Eagan, Minnesota. And I had this closet that you could like walk in. It was a big closet for an apartment. So I walked in there and I said, Lord, I'm not going to be good to anybody if I don't pray. I mean, I don't know anybody could be a pastor that doesn't pray. And God just set that in my heart at that time, 16 years ago, that I have to pray. I just have to. And if I didn't, I never thought it was a good enough reason not to. Like, I could really say, Lord, but God, I had all this stuff happen, and I just couldn't pray as long. I would say, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have prayed more yesterday. I didn't. Because I've never really figured out a good excuse. I've never found one that I could not sacrifice and devote time to the Lord in prayer. That I could not offer and sacrifice the sacrifices of praise. We must be devoted to God. We must die to our sicknesses, our pain, our depression, our fear, our anxiety, our wants, our desires, our troubles, our trials, our temptations, ourselves. Dying to complaining and murmuring, worrying and fretting. Dying to self. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know what the problem is? We don't like to sacrifice because there's too much of I and not enough of Him. There's too much focus on I and not enough on Him. The one thing God has showed me through all trials and tribulations the last 6 to 8 months is that I need to look to Jesus more. I can serve Him. I can preach His name. I can pray. I can do many things. But I need to look to Jesus. And where do I find Jesus? I find Him in His Word. That's where I find Him. I find out. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, how did You beat the devil and do all these things? Well, You're God, we know, but He says, look to Jesus, so look to Him. Get your strength from Him. Well, how did He do it? I read in His Word how He did it, and He shows me. This is how He did it. This is how you will do it when you realize that you have no strength in yourself and you need Christ to strengthen you. You will offer the sacrifices of praise and you will die to self and say, Lord, I'm going to devote my time, my money, my life, my heart, my dreams, my ambitions, my desires. You know why people don't serve God today, and some of them are saved? They don't want to let go of their own dreams. They have their own dreams. They don't care if it's God's. Right? They don't want to die to self. Right? Let it not be said about us. We ought to offer. We may be in the midst of the sorest trials and doubts and fears and troubles, but we need to stop right there in the middle and make an offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God and thank Him for His goodness. Amen. You know, if you will put that in practice in your Christian life, you will be more prosperous. By Him, therefore, by Christ. It's all by Christ. It's all by Jesus, the lover of our souls. It's all by Jesus, the one that perfectly sacrificed. He showed us how to sacrifice time and devote time to His Father. Every time you saw Him, he was praying. When He was alone, what was He doing? He was praying. He'd go up on the mount to pray early. He'd go there and He'd pray at night. He would be praying. And He's God. And he prayed. How much time do you spend devoting praise to God, thanking Him for His goodness, thanking Him for His blessings? How much time do we waste on everything else? Waste on murmuring and complaining. Waste on foolishness and nonsense and stupid videos and other garbage that amounts to nothing. That'll all be garbage. That we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to say, God, we spent too many hours. God's going to have those hours. He knows them now. How many hours did we spend on nonsense? And how many hours did you spend in prayer? Would you be ashamed to show if it was shown in a week how much time you devoted to God? Would you be ashamed if another man knew that? Now, it's not another man's business. It's between you and God. But it is my business to exhort you and to encourage you to spend much time in prayer with God. Get alone with God. Seek His face. Praise Him for His goodness. What is that song? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not tarry. Or all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Or tarry in prayer, you could say that too. Right? Some of those old preachers, some of those old divines used to say, pray through, right? Pray through it. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Man, I'm telling you, I've been praying to God. I'm going to tell you something. I've been praying to God for something, for relief in a certain situation in a time for weeks. Somebody said, I don't know how much time, how you have that much time to pray or how you have that much to say. Oh, I got a lot to say because I want God to answer. And God made it so I have to. I want to also, but He made it so I have to. But He may change my wonder. Yeah? He changed my wonder.
Amen.
It's okay. Well, I'll make you want it. I'll show you how much you need it, and I'll make you want it. And He did. You know, God, if you're God's servant, the one thing that I've learned, one more thing that I've learned the hard way is this, is that if God is not everything to you, He will remove everything so all you want is Him. Especially if you serve Him as a preacher. You will care not for the vanity. And honestly, the vanity, it makes me sick now. It literally makes me sick. When people try to praise me for a sermon or something like that, I don't like it. I'm very uncomfortable with it. I don't even want it. And I know people are kind, some people, when they're genuine, and I understand. But I don't really want it. I don't need it. Praise God for it. Thank Him for it. And pray for me.
Amen.
Don't praise me. Praise Him and pray for me.
Yep.
That's what you can do. You don't have to tell me anything. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I care about you, but I don't care about hearing that. I don't. I don't need that. What I do need is for you to pray for me. Because the devil will use any bit of flattery. Like, I think it was, I don't know if it was John Bunyan, some old lady came up and said that was a good sermon. And he said, you're too late, lady. The devil already told me that. I know what he means.
Yep.
I know what he means. No, God will take that all that out of you. And you'll learn to praise Him. Because He's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb to be praised. So praise Him. Spend time in secret praising God, thanking Him for His goodness to you. Don't neglect it. Father, Lord, thank you. Help us, Lord. Help us to praise you always, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and what you're going to do for us, Lord, and that your mercy endureth forever. Let us never forget that, Lord. Let us always give praise and honor to the King. We pray, Father, that you'd stir our hearts to that. Help us to tarry in prayer, be devoted to you, to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.